right. Let's begin in looking at Revelation chapter 19. In the book of the Revelation chapter 19, we looked at four of these great hallelujahs found there that will occur immediately prior to the second coming. Now, you know the word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not to praise the Lord for everything, because some things are not wonderful, but we're to praise Him in everything. You understand the difference? In other words, if you get cancer, I'm not going to say praise the Lord for my cancer. I'm going to praise the Lord for the Lord in my cancer. Does that make sense? In other words, in the midst of my problems, God is there. No matter how high I go, how deep I fall, no matter where I find myself beaten and bruised, God is there. You know, Elijah found that out, didn't he? And so we just want to say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. The first hallelujah is in verse 1. It's the hallelujah of redemption. The tribulation saints will shout hallelujah for their redemption. Then in verse 3, they're going to shout hallelujah, a hallelujah of retribution, because God's enemies will have been done away with. And then we, and by the way, that's the false prophet, the Antichrist, the false religious system, the false economic system, and the false government, okay? All of God's enemies are going to be eliminated one day. As I've said so many times, I've read the back of the book, Our Side Wins. And so there, the tribulation saints are going to shout hallelujah of redemption, verse 1, the hallelujah of retribution, verse 3, and then we who are saved in the church age are going to join in with the third great hallelujah, the hallelujah of the greatness of God, in verse 4. Joining that throng of the remainder of the whole host of all the redeemed in verse 6 with the hallelujah regarding the reign of Christ. For 2,000 years, folks, we've been praying as Christians, thy kingdom come, and one day it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, beginning in verses 7 and 8, we have the final union of Christ and his church. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In the New Testament days, people usually wore two layers of clothing. They had an inner garment, which the Romans called a toga, and an outer garment, which the Romans called, a tunic. And the outer garment, which the Romans called a toga. Now, a tunic was woven like a robe. It acted as a wick. It was, you know, woven like this, and it acted like a wick to a chimney, if you please, to draw moisture away from the body and ventilate, cool you off. If you watch television and see pictures of people in the Middle East, they wear multiple layers of clothing, don't they? Why? Well, partly to protect their body from the UV rays, but also they're very loose-fitting clothing, traditional clothing now. I'm not talking about Western clothing that they might wear, but the traditional clothing in the Middle East are loose-fitting layers of clothing to ventilate the body. That's the tunic. Now, here he's talking about the outer garment. Now, Christ is the bridegroom, and the saved of the church age are the bride. The Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints are not part of the bride of Christ. They are going to be guests at the wedding, but the bride of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, is reserved uniquely for those who are saved in the church era. And the bride is adorned, verse 8 says, in fine linen, clean and white, and the clothing that she has on will be made of two parts, the inner and the outer. Now, the inner garment, called a tunic, will be constructed with the imputed righteousness of Christ. For friends, only Jesus can save you. See, so you got two layers of clothing, the inner and the outer. And Jesus imputes to us his righteousness at the point of salvation. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to live good enough to make it. If you're in Jesus, guess what? You make it. He robes you in his righteousness, and you are in Christ. Now think about that. Get that mental picture. You have this Middle Eastern outfit with an inner part and an outer part, and the inner part is woven like this, and it surrounds the body, and it also ventilates and other things, but it's on the inside. And when you get saved, Jesus saves you on the inside. And then the outside, the outer garment, is a picture of the things we do, the service we do for Christ in this life, from point spiritual birth to point death, under the Spirit's control. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And so we have the inner garment, the tunic that represents the inner imputed righteousness of Christ, and the outer garment, the toga, will be composed of what we do in this life under the control of the Spirit of God. Now that means that how we live as believers is real important. Very important. How you live as a Christian, how you operate as a believer, what you do and what you don't do is very, very important. You know, all those who are saved during the church age are going to have the inner garment. That's a gift. You can't earn it. It will be the imputed righteousness of Christ given to you at the point of salvation. But the outer garment that we will be wearing will be of our own making. And some are going to have garments at the marriage supper of the Lamb that are more beautiful than others. Some will have garments that are just gorgeous, while some will be, you know, they'll be stunningly beautiful, but some will be wearing next to nothing. Not because they could not have better, but because we chose not. And you know, we choose to serve God or not serve God every day, all day long. Every day, all day long. You see, a Christian lives this life in a very important way. It's so critical that we live right. Now, we must not think for one moment that how we talk or what we look at on the television and so forth, where we go or what we listen to musically or how we dress or whether we go to church or not, or whether we read the Bible or not, or all these other things are not important. They're important. Reading the Word of God is important. Praying is important. Church attendance is important. Not so we can make points with God, but so that we will sow, S-E-W, a proper wedding garment. I see these pictures of weddings today, and I just cringe at most of them. You know, the outfits that are being, I see these guys in purple tuxedos and just want to hide. But the women are wearing, you know, awful, just awful. And here's a gal that's, you know, 9 months pregnant, and she's wearing a white dress, and you know, she's not even married, and it's just unbelievable. Friend, we take, you know, all of those things in the marriage, Christian marriage ceremony, are pictures of what we're talking about right here. And we are to live a life that is such that the way we sow, S-O-W, in this life, sows, S-E-W-S, a proper wedding garment that will be one, not that we can say, hey, look at me, but so that we will be properly attired for the bridegroom. Don't think for one moment that these things and a million more are not important. They are very important. And you say, well, how come? Because at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you will be clothed in the righteousness of Christ and the garment of your own making. Remember, the inner garment represents the providential provision of the righteousness of Christ, but our outer garment will be provided by us. It will be constructed and assembled out of all of the righteous deeds, Spirit-filled deeds that we did in this life. Now, in verse 7, look at it again. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's us, all the saved of the church age, hath made herself ready. We've got to get ready. We used to sing, oh, are you making yourself ready, brother? Well, friends, we've got to be ready. Well, how are you ready? Well, verse 8 says, by accumulating righteousness. He says, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, the righteousness of the saints is very important here. When we talk about righteousness of the saints, we're actually talking about righteous deeds, not imputed, as I said. And so you could really write righteousnesses, righteous, the plural. It's not just one righteous deed. It's every day. When we get up in the morning, we read our Bible, or maybe you read it at night, reading our Bible. We pray, we witness, we share a gospel tract. Everything we do under the Spirit's control is, y'all ever seen an old-timey weaver's mill? Or what do they call that thing? Is it a mill? That they weave cloth on. Huh? Loom, that's the word. And they take that piece of wood, right, with the and they run it across, and then they push it down and they run it across. Folks, that's just exactly what we're doing. Every Spirit-filled deed is like that. They run it across, and then down comes the pressure, because the pressure comes when you live for Jesus. And then you run it across again. Pressure comes, run it across. And finally, you're done weaving everything on the loom. Couldn't think of that word. Thank you, brother. Now, we accumulate righteousnesses by living a righteous life. And that's just simply living the Spirit-filled life. Paul, you know, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans, says that we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And prior to that, we appear at the marriage supper of the Lamb. All Christians will, from the church age, will do that. Prior to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll approach. My head stopped up, can't think, and the devil wants me to mess this up. We arrive at the judgment seat of Christ. All things done under the control of the Spirit and under the flesh are put through the fire. Then what's left will be what is used to formally construct our outer garment. Then we'll put it on. Then we'll all march over to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and how we're attired will be based upon what we did under the Spirit's control. Got it. That's right. Now, the Bible says every deed done, every thought considered, every word spoken under the Spirit's control will add up and will compile to comprise our spiritual garment. Now, that was a whole page I just said. A lot faster. So we want to be ready. That's my point. We want to be ready. If we died right now, would we be ready? Would be ready. You know, in verse 7, the question makes this question, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, which implies a question. Well, that, doesn't that mean she wasn't ready before? That's right. You have to get ready. When we would take trips, my dad would get the car ready. He'd change the oil, you know, tires, whatever was necessary, belts and hoses, right, all that stuff. And he'd have the car ready, and he'd say, okay, to my mom, we're going to leave at 7:45 in the morning. You know what that was like? 5 hours later, we'll be pulling out of the driveway. I mean, he'd have the car ready. And mom would, he'd say, are you ready? Have you got everything packed? Yes, I've got everything. But for some reason, we could never get out of the driveway on time. Drove my dad crazy because he had to travel on his job, you know, and so he had to leave on time. And so, friends, you just can't dawdle. There is no time to dawdle spiritually in this life because we don't know how long we're going to live. And because we don't know how long we're going to live, we need to get busy. Get busy. The Bible talks about having our lamps trimmed. Now, if you know anything about lamps, you know that around the top of the like for an example, an Aladdin lamp, there's a wick, goes all the way around, and as it burns, it leaves a crust, doesn't it? So you got to take this little doodad and you got to trim that wick, just so it'll burn properly. We've got to keep our lamps trimmed spiritually, so that when the bridegroom comes, we're ready. We hear people say, "Well, I'm an aged man. I'm an aged lady. I've lived a long time. I'm ready to go to heaven." Friend, we ought to be ready right now. Now, that doesn't mean I'm tired of this life and I'm ready to go. Now, listen, I'm tired of this world we live in. It's just, you know, I don't have any desire to spend one more minute in this upholstered cesspool we live in, known as the 21st century. No desire to stay here. But except for the fact that, hey, I got more people to share the gospel with. There's still somebody needs Jesus. So I'll stay as long as God wants me here. Okay, but when he does take me home, I need to be ready. Not everyone is going to be caught up at the rapture is going to be ready to meet Jesus. So following the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be wearing an outer garment at the marriage supper that has been constructed out of the things we did, out of the things we said, out of the thoughts we considered under the Spirit's control. And our life here, therefore, determines what kind of garment that's going to be and whether it's going to be fitting and appropriate and pleasing to our bridegroom, the Lord. Now, in light of that, I would hope that as we think things this week, as we say things this coming week, as we do things this week, we'll see to it that whatever we think, say, or do is done under the Spirit's control. How do we do that? Very simple. Confess all known sin. Now, you can't confess a sin that you don't know that you've committed. But Lord, I know I got mad at this or I did this or whatever. And you confess that and say, Lord, I confess that to you, that that's a sin. I ask you to wash me and cleanse me and clean me up from that in the blood of Jesus. And then I yield myself to you and ask you, fill me with your Spirit. It's that simple. Now, does that mean you're going to feel something? Maybe, maybe not. But if you follow what the Bible promises, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse. And that word cleanse means keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So we confess, repent, ask to be cleansed and to be filled. And guess what? God will do that. And since our wedding garment will be constructed solely of those things done in this life under Christ's control, let's make sure tonight before we go to sleep that our garment's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a wonderful thing, not a threadbare thing, because we are sewing, S-E-W-I-N-G, as we sew, S-O-W. So let's read that again. He says, let us be glad and rejoice. I hope we can all be glad when Jesus comes for us. And give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, that's all believers from the Pentecost to the rapture, hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, when we get together next time, we're going to talk about the heavens opening and the white horse coming. To meet every, it's the rider on the white horse who is faithful and true, and we're going to talk about that in depth and what Jesus is going to really be like when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to rejoice, friend. The enemies of God are not going to be happy, but we're going to be thrilled out of our minds. All right, let's pray.